is the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Episode number 128. Hello and welcome to the show. Please come inside. Now, there's something special about today's episode. Other than the fact that you're here, which makes it very special. Thank you very much. This is the very first episode that is also a simulcast on Deplorables Radio on Facebook. Deplorables Radio. Just go to Deplorables, apostrophe, then the word radio, and there it is. I've joined what I hope will become a Facebook broadcast network. All right? We're getting some people involved right now. A guy named Xander's on 8 o'clock Eastern time. Right now, I am on 6 o'clock Central time, Monday through Friday. All right, Monday through Friday. So you're going to hear and see me on that. All right? You can see my lovely face. Always nice. And then, of course, you will also hear the audio on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and other platforms. Preferably go to iTunes and just look for podcast Rob Carson Show. It's right there, okay? So that's what makes this episode special. All right, I want to mention our sponsors. They make the show special. Dr. Alex Nelson is a chiropractor. He specializes, this is an interesting thing, he works with kids with developmental disorders like autism and ADHD. All right? If you have questions about that, why don't you call him, okay? And he also does, takes care of the whole family for aches, pains, maintenance. So you've been going to the gym and your shoulder's bugging you or whatever's bugging you. You're tired of feeling like you're not optimum. Make you feel better. Here is the website, fountainoflifecairo.com. Fountainoflifecairo.com. There at 8335 North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. Here's the number for Dr. Alex Nelson and Fountain of Life Cairo. 816-741-4711. 816-741-4711. Grass Monsters KC, another sponsor. They do beautiful, beautiful American-made mowers and yard maintenance equipment, Dixie Chopper mowers, zero-turning radius mowers made in Indiana, and a Horse Hustlers made in Kansas. They've got some terrific, terrific models. Let's just mention real quick, say for instance, you want a residential mower that kicks ass. You might consider the Z2. The Z2 starts with a 42-inch deck, can go up to a 54-inch deck. You're going to get high horsepower, 23-horsepower engine, 7-stage deck height. These, what they call motorcycle tires, and they provide a smoother ride. The casters in the front are built like a brick you-know-what house. Just these things are spectacular. 3-year bumper-to-bumper warranty on the Z2, and they've got all sorts of others. They've got commercial, and they've got the residential. Same goes with Hustler. What you need to go is go to Raytown. Go to 5529 Raytown Road, Raytown, Missouri. Or you can go to grassmonsterskc.com and get started. You go over there to Raytown, they'll let you test drive one. Ooh, it'll never change. It'll change forever is what I should say. And also, I might mention that they offer great financing on the mowers as well. All right?
There is a lot of caterwauling with regard to the Obamacare repeal. The latest from Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders... And this is shameful, particularly after the shootings of Republican members of Congress and staff in Alexandria, Virginia, a couple weeks ago by a Bernie Sanders supporter. By a Bernie Sanders supporter! Wanted to kill some Republicans. Fortunately, he was a liberal, didn't know how to shoot a gun. Lucky he didn't shoot himself. That said, 3 weeks later, Bernie Sanders, who one of his voters targeted Republicans, decided to take the debate about the repeal of Obamacare even further than Hillary Clinton saying the Republicans are the party of death. Even further than millions of people are going to die and this and that, everything. What do you want to do? It's a piece of legislation. It's a piece of legislation, okay? Government does stupid crap. They do occasionally decent stuff. But this isn't going to end the world to repeal a and I just heard that 1.2 million people are going to die this year because Obamacare isn't going to cover their insurance anymore. From the Department of pulling statistics out of your rear end, here's Bernie Sanders comparing the repeal of Obamacare to 9/11 times nine.
Now, obviously, nobody can predict exactly how many people will die if they lose their coverage. Nobody can make that prediction.
But let me just reach back here and pull some statistics from my rear end.
What experts at the Harvard School of Public Health estimate,
yes,
is that if 20...
The Harvard School, yes.
3 million Americans were to be thrown off the insurance they currently have, which is what the House bill would do, up to 28,000 Americans every single year could die. That is 9 times more than the tragic losses we suffered on 9/11 every single year.
Do you remember 9/11? I think it will always be too soon to make that analogy, and particularly to use it for political purposes. Honestly. As you watch tonight here on the Deplorables Radio, you see the comment section right below my picture? You see it right there? Comment. I'd like to hear what you think. Are you enjoying this? My name is Rob Carson. Again, for those of you who don't know, I'm Rob Carson. I am a talk show host, a podcaster, and also a nationally syndicated comedy writer. We get some time before the end of my tenure here, or my little stint on the podcast, I'll share some comedy with you. How does that sound? Does that sound okay? So Bernie Sanders says, repeal of the Obamacare could be deadlier than 9 times 9/11 without the Allahu Akbar. I guess, right? The FBI has ratcheted up investigations into Bernie Sanders' wife. You know, they have the perfect couple, the perfect, really liberal couple. Liberal academic, his wife, not involved in the private sector at all. Okay. Liberal academic, professorial, and a career politician who failed the very short stint that he spent in the private sector. The perfect liberal couple. They've lived on the public dole. The wife has reaped a lot from academia, although she drove a college into bankruptcy. FBI investigation into her says she defrauded a bank because she wanted to expand this little college that she was in charge of. And basically, they've gone to the college where she was the president. She drove it into bankruptcy. They've removed dozens of boxes. Sanders served as the president of Burlington College from 2004 to 2011 and is blamed for leading the school into bankruptcy, falsifying a loan application. Part of an ambitious plan to boost enrollment at the college during her tenure as president. Sanders had the college take on $10 million in debt to purchase a piece of land next to the campus. Said that she'd secured $2.9 million in donations, and not so much. Only $676,000 ever materialized. Where are the Burlington College alumni? The Burlington College, home of the mighty Birkenstock-wearing, patchouli-smelling libs. Is that what that is? Hey, we got some people. Anita, thank you for joining. Dennis, thank you for joining. Spread the word as we broadcast live here for the very first time on Deplorables Radio. Spread the word right now because we've got a lot of stuff to get to, okay? Thank you for being here. Thank you for Deplorables Radio for allowing me to do this. All right. So Carol Moore, who served as the final president of the college from 2014 until its closure, places blame for the bankruptcy squarely on Sanders. And why doesn't it surprise you? Liberals handle other people's money. They don't care about their own. They don't count how other people's money are spent. And ultimately, you can fail. Unfortunately, this college couldn't fail. In government, you can't fail. You could spend all you want on a program. It can be driven to the toilet. It can fail, and nobody will lose their job because it's other people's money. So that's what's going on right now. We'll see what happens. Bernie Sanders, of course, calling it a political witch hunt is what he's calling it. Perfect couple. Perfect couple. Liberal academic and man who failed in the private sector and became a full-time career politician. It's just amazing. Just amazing. Your comments, continue them to come, and I will announce them as they go. All right, so as long as you write here, Anita says Bernie is pathetically. Okay, sure. I would say pathetically would be a word that I would use for Bernie Sanders. So, a lot of talk about Donald Trump's son meeting with a Russian lawyer, finding out that, and I'm going to go ahead and use the expression, it was a giant nothing burger. He wanted some op research about Hillary Clinton. And he's a political newbie. A lot of people in the Trump campaign, political newbies, and they agreed to a meeting with a Russian lawyer, found out it was a big nothing burger. And now the news media is saying that this is it. This is the thing. This is the thing we've been looking for. This is the magic bullet. This is the end. Donald Trump is done. It's over. It is treasonous. You know what? I got to say to people who are saying it's treasonous, like Tim Kaine, Tim, there are parts of my anatomy I'd like you to just kiss right now, because it's BS. None of this stuff is going to come into fruition. And here's something that I said months ago in my terrestrial radio broadcast. I worked at a radio station called KCMO Talk Radio. I said this was all a ruse to draw attention from the real Russian collusion, which was the Russian government, Uranium One, working with the Clinton Foundation while she was a Secretary of State. That's what this is all about. The only real collusion with the Clinton campaign and the Russians, or anybody, was against Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders could have been the prospective nominee, but the Democrat Party colluded with Hillary Clinton's campaign to feed her debate questions, to demean the Bernie Sanders campaign, and to ultimately cost him the primary season and hand the nomination to Hillary Clinton. That's the collusion. If I were a Democrat, and I've said this from the get-go, the election was about people being sick and tired of being told how to live their lives by people who go to Washington and spend their whole lives doing it. That's Rob Carson, copyright 2016. That's what it was about. The Republicans threw off the old guard. They elected Donald Trump. I mean, this is the ultimate outsider, right? Mission accomplished. We did it. Really ticked off a lot of the insiders. There's a lot of anti-Trumpers on the inside. The same happened in the Democrat Party. But the Democrat Party is so crooked and so in bed with the Clintons, they sleep in separate beds. But Bill would allow anybody to sleep with you. They threw the election for Hillary Clinton. And so all of you Democrats who wanted to throw off the old guard, the feelings were mutual. Don't get me wrong. We may disagree with each other politically on either side of the equation, but we're sick and tired of what's going on in Washington. Even if you're a hardcore liberal, you're tired of it too. You're tired of it too. And you're ready to throw it off. But the Democrat Party threw it in the favor of the old guard, of the establishment. Republicans, we did it. We tossed that. We tossed them. We tossed them big time. Let's look at the comments. Dennis says, collusion on what? Digging up dirt on a politician? No, dude, you've got to do that. You need op research. You know what's really amazing? They never, ever cover the depths to which Democrats go to get op research. And some of this is nefarious, generally from unnamed sources, like, you know, in the New York Times, the latest story with Donald Trump. They will go to ends of the earth, pay money. But they might even pay for it in meth, for all I know. But you never hear that. But when it comes from the Republican Party, oh, my God, can you believe they're doing this? No. No, they all do it. When it comes to Donald Trump Jr., I think he's a political newbie. The Trump had kind of a mutual friend with this guy. He was a publicity, whatever. He did publicity for music stars, and they'd work together on a Miss Universe pageant or whatever. And he said, hey, I got a lawyer. She may have some dirt on the Clintons, Clinton campaign, working with the Russians, whatever. Got together for a meeting. Donald Trump Jr. decided during the meeting, there's really not much here. She apparently had another agenda coming in, which is about a piece of legislation that would allow, stop adoptions from Russia. It gets very cloudy, okay? It gets very cloudy. And I'll get into it in a second. but basically, there's nothing there. Publicity agent Robert Goldstone contacted Donald Jr. in a email suggesting that people had information concerning alleged wrongdoing by Democrat Party frontrunner Hillary Clinton in dealing with Russia. Uranium One. Secretary of State Bill Clinton suddenly making a lot of money on speeches. Joe Scarborough, not exactly a genius. Oh, and you want to hear the really funny thing? Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, just signed a three-book deal. Just signed a three-book deal. I had no idea she could read or write. Just amazing. This morning, on Morning Joe, he said that Russia did not tip the scales in 2016. Hillary Clinton has nothing to blame but herself for her defeat. Can you say, the biggest no-duh in history? it's amazing how clueless some can be. So many people are saying that this is the gotcha moment that people have expected. The media is slathering the Democrat Party. What they want to do is they want to overthrow the election of a president. There was supposed to be an inauguration, a coronation of a woman who's been in politics for 30 plus years. She's a very crooked individual, and they can't stand it. And so they're beating this idea of Russian collusion, of which there is no evidence whatsoever. They're beating it into the ground. It makes no sense. And I said this during the campaign. It makes no sense for the Russian government to support Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton when they got the uranium deal to give the Russian government 20% of our uranium reserves for a donation to the Clinton Foundation versus a hawk, okay, a hawk with regard to Russia. And during the campaign, Donald Trump made it very clear, while he did admire to some degree Vladimir Putin, the Russian government, he was not going to be pushed around anymore. We saw that at the G20. We'll work together. We got to fight Syria together. We got to do something together. But that was the first real sign of it. Hillary Clinton showed up for a meeting with the Russian ambassador when she was Secretary of State with a button that was supposed to say reset, said overcharge. Incompetent boob. Hillary Clinton, incompetent boob there, spent years as Secretary of State not accomplishing anything, but basically collecting frequent flyer miles. Who would the Russian government rather have? Would you rather have a president who wants to unleash the natural resources of American fossil fuel or somebody who wants to remain dependent on it. We saw the president go to Poland and say, we're going to start sending natural gas to Poland. You've been stuck with Russian natural gas and the whims of the Russian government for many, many years. And the president, our president, said, no, you know what? We've got enough. We're going to send to you. And the Polish people went nuts. They were unchained from their fossil fuel slavery to Russia. What it was all about. So why would the Russian government, why in the world would the Russian government want to back the Trump administration? It's not going to be an easier road to hoe for them. Well, it turns out this lawyer who had worked with this PR guy, Robert Goldstone, had an agenda of her own. Robert Goldstone said, we have some opposition research on the Clintons. They get together. Her reason for being there was to discuss a piece of legend, the Medzhinsky Act, I guess, which enabled the U.S. to impose sanctions on Russian officials accused of human rights violations. It also led the Kremlin to ban the adoption of Russian children. So that was her modus operandi. This other guy said to get into the meeting with Donald Trump Jr., we have some opposition research that is going to tie Hillary Clinton's campaign with Russians, blah, blah, blah. They get in there. They find out nothing. There was nothing there. But the national media is on a feeding frenzy. This is going to be a giant, for lack of a better word, crap sandwich. It's not going to make any difference. And it's what it's doing is it's preventing the country from getting things done. It's preventing a president. And I was never a fan of Donald Trump. He was not my first choice for president. I was not happy. I was a Rubio fan, a Cruz fan, blah, blah, blah. And I think they're covering something up. Okay. I think that they're covering up what really was collusion. And that was, if anybody wanted Hillary Clinton elected, it would be the Russian government and working with the Clinton Foundation. Because you imagine, I mean, think about this. Can you imagine the amount of money she was raised? The Clinton Foundation, about $2 billion while she was Secretary of State. Can you imagine the influence the world could have bought if she was the president? Tell me that if a Russian company was able to get 20% of the U.S. uranium reserves with the Secretary of State, they weren't going to get a whole lot more with the president. It's all sorted, guys. The collusion was between the Clinton campaign and the Russians, the Clinton campaign and the national media. And all of this is a distraction. You can quote me on that. I've said it for a while. For those of you who've just tuned in, my name is Rob Carson. I am filling in, or actually I'm not filling in. I'm doing a show for the very first time here on Deplorables Radio. I'm a talk show host. I am a video host. I'm a podcaster and a nationally syndicated comedy writer. Wrote for Rush Limbaugh starting in about 1990 as a kid right out of college. And so I've been able to do that for a number of years and then also do a show. Oh, if you want to just check out my daily podcast, I do it every day. I'm on iTunes at Rob Carson Show, iTunes at Rob Carson Show. I just started this, okay? About 8 months ago, I started doing non-over-the-air radio. So I am now, my podcast every day that I do, 40 minutes to an hour about current events, pop culture, some comedy too, believe it or not. It's on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Plus, working on Google Play, all under the Rob Carson Show. But if you just want to download it for free, go to iTunes and look up Rob Carson Show. We do that. Look under podcasts. Look under podcasts. And it's right there. All right, let's move on to some slightly less political stuff. I believe that in the country, we've kind of reached critical mass with regard to transgenderism. Remember when, and I don't want to sound too old here, but remember when somebody who dressed up like a woman as a man, there was something wrong with him? Do you remember that? Maybe you remember MASH. Watched MASH. Corporal Klinger, he wanted to get a Section 8, and the reason he did that is he dressed like a woman. That is very politically incorrect now, obviously. But there is a lot of... There is a lot of over-correction with regard to maybe the sins of the past with regard to our feelings about homosexuals, our feelings about the transgendered. I'm going to get into a couple stories that are just nuts. You want to mention a couple of notes here. Dennis says, at worst, with regard to Russian collusion, this is a misstep by people who are not professional politicians. Boom, boom. Boom. We voted for an insider, Dennis. We voted for an insider, dude. We got an insider. Which administration sold Russia 20%? Yeah, 20% of the uranium. That was the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State. All right. Now, as the show progresses, we're going to be going for a little while longer here on Deplorables Radio. What I would love you to do, comment in real time, so I can respond to your comment and acknowledge you on this podcast. Also, will you do me a favor? Will you share on social media? Will you invite your friends to join this Facebook page, Deplorables Radio, Deplorables Radio? Because I want this to grow. I want this to be gigantic. It's already a great Facebook site. I would love to have 100,000 people following this Facebook site because it's awful. I mean, it's awesome. Sometimes I'm awful. Got a comment on the comment line. What was once recognized as a mental illness now treated and is enabled by the left. We have a couple of places in the country, the state of Oregon and the state of the Washington, D.C., the district, where you now can not say if you're a man or a woman. You can just put X, or you can say that you are non-gender conforming when you want your driver's license. This is, now I want you to listen to this. This is condoning mental illness. And I'm sorry, it is mental illness. If you're born with a penis, you are a man. If you're born with a vagina, you're a woman. There are occasionally some weird stuff going on there. So there's this little nudge that happens in the womb where we get a little bit of testosterone. And maybe sometime there's a woman born with womb and penis. I know, get that. That's a very rare thing. That's a very rare thing. Does occasionally happen. But if you are born with a penis and full-throated man parts, you're always going to be a man. That's just the way it is. You're always going to be a man. If you're born with a vagina and a uterus and a womb and eggs and you menstruate and you have breasts and the whole deal, you are always going to be a woman. There are some people trying to say that men are pregnant. Great Britain, there was a person born as a woman, decided to go through hormonal treatment, got facial hair, had her boobs removed, decided to stop it so she could have a baby. That's not a man having a baby. It's not a man having a baby. As much as you'd like to think it is, it's not possible for a man to have a baby. I know. Fort Lauderdale police officer facing disciplinary action after he misgendered a transgender person on a reckless driving ticket issued in January. Shelby Kendall was born male, is identifying as a woman since 2014. Male, identifying as a woman. What was Shelby pulled over for? Would you believe drag racing? Shelby Kendall pulled over for drag racing, born as a man, dressed as a woman. Officer James Brinton noticed the Camaro drag racing the Mustang down a four-lane public road, followed the black Chevy into a Winn-Dixie parking lot where Kendall was ticketed. Kendall said, I wasn't contesting why I was pulled over. I was more contesting how was I treated. Brinton went before the Citizen Review Board on Monday after referring to Kendall as a male on a reckless driving ticket. despite the fact that the real estate agent's driver's license features female pronouns, apparently looked like a dude. If I've done everything I need to do for the state of Florida to recognize me as a female, he doesn't have the right to purposely misgender me. It's a giant affront to Kendall, who's born as a woman. Born as a man. God, it's so confusing. Born as a man dressed as a woman caught drag racing. Police officer saw the female on the driver's license. Saw that this person, really, yeah, you know, you look like a dude. Said, basically, you're a dude. She objected. Objected. Britton stood his ground. The officer says, well, for the purpose of the citation, you're a man. You're a man. This guy is being, he's being reprimanded for this. And we're supposed to accept this as normal, I guess, right? Number of children being referred to so-called gender identity clinics in the United Kingdom has quadrupled in the last 5 years. This is the illness. It's a mental illness. According to newly released data, children as young as 3 being encouraged to question their gender identity. Wow. Wow. So statistics from the Gender Identity Development Service says that after undergoing a 6-month psychosocial assessment by a physician, they offer children action plans for beginning to transition, starting as young as 3, which can include prescribing hormone blockers to children who have already started puberty. I have friends who have a daughter, very butch, for the longest time, dressed as a boy, identified as a boy. Went to the beach last week, hanging out with them. Girls wearing a bikini, slightly, you know, not the most feminine, but had become a woman. It has become an industry. People are making a career out of encouraging children to question gender in an age when they need to be left as children. Chris McGovern, former advisor to the Department of Education in Great Britain: when teachers raise these issues, children can become confused or unhappy or traumatized, and a lot of kids will think that this transgender crap is normal. I mean, I wanted to be a firefighter. Dr. Polly Carmichael, director of this Gender Identity Development Service, says that she believes that it's good that the children are being introduced to transgendered issues. In her opinion, it can never be negative if schools are being thoughtful about offering opportunities to discuss topical issues. It's crap. Teach them reading, writing, arithmetic. She said, by the way, American College of Pediatrics President Michelle Critella says that thrusting transgender ideology onto children can result in large-scale child abuse, and that's what it is. Transgender ideology is not just infecting our laws. It is intruding into the lives of the most innocent among us, children, and with the apparent growing support of professional medical community. Camille Paglia, feminist activist, says that prescribing puberty blockers to transgender children is criminal violation of human rights. And I agree. If you think that your 8-year-old needs or 12-year-old needs puberty blocking hormones, you need to have the child taken away from him. Ultimately, Paglia has concluded that biologically sex changes are impossible. And it's true. It's true. University of Missouri. Remember all the rigmarole around the University of Missouri when they had what's going on a lot around the country is students throwing temper tantrums and creating crises that aren't real because they've lived in a spoiled, entitled environment. These millennials need to create a crisis to feel like they are victims, So they need to return us back to 1969 or 1968 or 1999 with the rights of women. man, Missouri, the University of Missouri. And I lived in Missouri for a decade, and not a Mizzou grad, but I lived in Columbia, Missouri for a number of years. And I'm heartbroken by this. But this is happening all over the country. By the way, C. Lee Simmons says, great stuff, my friend. Well done. Too bad I have to get back to work. I'll be watching for more in the future. C. Lee, hey, check this out, dude. Make sure to check out my podcast, Rob Carson Show at iTunes, okay? Be on this site every freaking day. Check this site out every single day to Pullovers Radio. There's a lot of great content, and we're going to try this for a while at 6 o'clock every evening. So if you like this, watch it. If you don't get a chance to watch it, I'm going to take the audio and put it on the podcast. Okay, Seeley? I'll put it on the podcast. Just go to iTunes, Rob Carson Show. Dude, thank you, man. It's great to have you on. I really appreciate it. God bless you. Candy is there. She says, Satan is the author of confusion. Well, yeah. Yeah, a whole lot of weird stuff going on in the world, right? And I'm sorry. As far as transgenderism, I'm never going to say that it's normal. I understand that there are some people in the womb, you know, they get this little, like I said, this nudge. And they genuinely, there is a chemical hereditary imbalance that I think it's chemical. I don't think it's mental. I don't think some people are sick. But I do think people who are born and they have female genitalia or male genitalia and they say they are neither gender, they're mentally ill. I'm sorry. There's something wrong. There's something very, very wrong with you. If you believe that, you need help. You need help, man. Back to the University of Missouri. By the way, I'd love to hear where you guys are listening, where you tune in, because I do the show right now in Kansas City, Missouri. That's where I find my home is now. I've lived in Washington, D.C. for a decade and am here now, and that's where I do my show. So I'd love to hear where you guys are listening. And again, Seeley and Dennis and all you guys who are watching, will you share this on social media? Will you say you got to check out this terrific page, Deplorables Radio, and check out this guy, this goofy guy with the... I'm getting a haircut tomorrow. I apologize. I apologize. But 6 o'clock, this guy's on. Spring Lake, Michigan. Come on, Dennis. All right. Michigan's a beautiful state. It's too bad the government's so messed up. Well, it's getting better, though, right? 2 years since the spate of race-fueled headline-dominating student protests at the University of Missouri, the school says freshman enrollment at the campus down 35%. You had this... race protests started. This is after Ferguson, by the way. And again, these are spoiled, entitled millennials who are going to school. They need to create some sort of crisis to make them feel relevant because they weren't there in 1968. They weren't there in 1973. They weren't there in whatever. And they need to. Create a crisis. Jonathan Butler, a child who's been in school, he's 28 or 29 years old. He's been in school at the University of Missouri for a decade, professional student. He started this. His father is a railroad executive, Omaha, Nebraska, worth millions of dollars. He went down there, and most of these race crimes on campus are bull crap. There's a lot of fake sexual assault. There's a lot of fake race crimes because these people need some sort of relevancy in their lives. They need to have a victimhood status so they'll be noticed. It's like Munchausen by proxy. It's what it is. I'm going to make the university sick so people notice me. I'm going to make my kids sick so they notice me. It's the same damn thing. They like the victimhood thing that they can claim that they're somehow the victim. Jonathan Butler was never a victim. He claimed that some redneck in downtown Columbia, Missouri, drove by with a Dixie flag in the back of the pickup truck and yelled an epithet. There was never a photo. There was never a description. There was never a license plate number. It was crap. They also said that there was a bigotry on campus. There was a poop swastika on campus, which was unfounded bullcrap planted by somebody on campus who wanted to claim victimhood status. That's what this is all about. Jonathan Butler goes on a hunger strike. the chancellor and the president bent over and took it and ultimately lost their jobs because of it. And now Missouri is suffering. And now other institutions are suffering as well. And they should, because, and pardon my expression, Dennis, but here's my expression when it comes to students at universities stopping classes. Evergreen State University asking every white faculty member and student to leave campus for one day. One white faculty member says, no, I'm not going to do that. They claim racism. They shut down the university. Here's what you do as an administrator. You say, get your asses to your class. If you don't, you're out. You are out of here. It's time to take back freedom of expression. It's time to let the children be children and not run the asylum. This is what happens. This is what this wrought at the University of Missouri, an institution that I love very much in a town that I love very much, Columbia, Missouri. The new president, President Mun Choi, told the New York Times that there were students from both in and out of state that just did not apply, or those who did apply but directly decided not to attend because of the crap going on at Mizzou. This is according to the New York Times. Parents of a junior wrote, that while they did not underestimate the extent of bigotry in the world, the way to effect change is not by resorting to the type of mob rule that became apparent at the University of Missouri. The university, they added, showed a complete lack of leadership. And their two younger children all but eliminated Mizzou from the college list. I have told my son I would never want him to go to Mizzou. You know why? Because he's a white man. He's a white kid who's never had a racist thought in his mind. Never had a racist thought in his mind. He is a great young man. Never thought about color with regard to his friends. But he's privileged. He's somehow privileged. He's somehow to blame for the faults of. This is all about blame shifting. White privilege segues into white supremacy. You start off with the word racism. Racism is a word you use when you're losing an argument. Then you segue into white privilege when you see people who are accelerating and you want to take them down. It's because of white privilege. You want to take away from their accomplishments to boost your own sorry ass up. That has segued into white supremacy. White supremacy is a tiny fraction of fringe groups in the United States. It does not apply to the Trump administration. And it's not happening on America's campuses. That's a load of crap. The New York Times said Mizzou had shown how poorly handled conflict can cripple a college's reputation. Tyler Morris said he was afraid of being stereotyped as a bigot if we went to Missouri. Decided to go to Missouri Valley College. But Tyler's a white kid. You know why he was going to be stereotyped as a bigot? Wasn't because of any action he's ever taken in his life. It wasn't because of any tweets. It wasn't because of any. Protests he attended. Because he's born a white kid. Born a white kid. Here's a kid who gave up his dreams of going to Mizzou because he was afraid of being stereotyped as a bigot because he's a white kid. The discrimination wasn't against white people, but I didn't want to be that person who, I guess, was stereotyped because I was white. Unbelievable. These are innocent kids who've never, they're not the cause of the faults of this country. But here's a kid who just said, I'm not going to go because I'm white, and so everybody's going to hate me. This hits home for me because my son is 18 years old. He's going to go to college next year. And I want him to be able to fight back against this crap, turn this around. Because right now, everything that he has accomplished in life, somebody will say was because he's a white kid. Not because of the amount of effort, not because of the amazing personality that he has. C. Lee Simmons says he's on the air at Salem Media Group in Sacramento. Very good. Salem is awesome. Been trying to get on at Salem. All right, I've been trying to get on, but your CEO won't respond to my emails, and it's not because, you know, but I know him. I've been trying to get on. I like Salem. Salem's great. Now, a lot of times at universities, I got to get real quick. This is kind of a good story. It was just on the heels of the racism thing. Professor John MacArthur was criticizing the concept of white privilege at the Aspen Ideas Festival about a week or two ago, according to The Atlantic. He says, I think anybody in more sober moments understands that even though racism exists and microaggressions are real, bull crap. And if they are, and you can't handle a microaggression, then honestly, you're going to be in the fetal position when you get in the real world. See, I'm into macroaggressions. Microaggressions don't bother me. They don't bother me. I'm not. And even macroaggressions, you want to bring it? I bring it. I will aggress, whatever. Maybe microaggressions are what happens when you have a macroaggression and you get into cold water. They shrink. Anyway, college campuses are perhaps the least racist spots on earth. Something I've been saying forever. It's not 1968 all over again. These are kids going to school who have never had a racist thought. They are millennials. They've never lived in it. Back to this guy, MacArthur says that the idea is you are to learn that you're a privileged white person at a university. You are to learn it over and over. Really, what you're supposed to learn is to feel guilty about it and to express that on a regular basis, understanding that at no point in your lifetime will you ever be morally legitimate person because you have privilege. That's what kept that kid at Mizzou from going to school there. Said it ends up being kind of a security blanket. For MacArthur, such an approach does not take students anywhere. Facilitates a loss of flexibility in the way that we talk about things on college campuses. It shuts down opposing opinions. To be a black student who learns that their purpose, that something special about them, is that they can make a loud noise and make white people feel guilty, I don't think that's an education. MacArthur also observed that while negative moral labels have been commonly applied to people who expressed unpopular opinions in the past, a push to suppress dissenting speech is entirely new tendency. I think that now more specifically the problem is if you're a bad person and you should not speak. That's the new. Today, the idea is that you walk out of the room, you can hear it because the space isn't safe. That's a theatrical gesture. Should be used for auditions. Basically, racist abuse on campus is theater. I agree. It's all been made up from the get-go, and I've been saying it forever. No, I wanted to mention something, if you don't mind. I have a line of politically incorrect swag that you can order. Here's where you go. Okay? Okay, hold on. There we go. TeePublic.com. Look for conservatees. TeePublic.com. Look for conservatees. You want to see a couple of the politically incorrect designs we have. Now, you can put these on T-shirts. You can put these on onesies, on notebook cases, on cell phone cases, on the whole deal. I think you're going to dig them. Here's a popular one. You can't coast when some want to kill you. You ever see that bumper sticker on Priuses? Yeah, there's at least one faith on there that wants to kill everybody. Or at least a substantial faction of them. That's one of them. On campuses, you see the iconic Che Guevara face. Well, here's what I did with it. Murderous commie douchebag, not a hero. Again, all you got to do is go to this website, tpublic.com/conservatees. Get it put on a T-shirt. Wear it to your family reunion. I got mine next month. Here's a good one. Calm down. She lost. He won. Get over it. Yeah. It's time to get over it. For your kid going to school in the fall. Hold on. Here it is. Suck it up, snowflake. Suck it up, Snowflake. Oh, geez, Uncle Sam, here it is. Sorry about that, guys. Suck it up, Snowflake. You can have that put on a variety of things. For those of you who are tired of hearing CNN you know, saying that the latest scandal is Russia, Russia, Jan Brady in Russia, Russia, Russia. Again, you can put that on T-shirts. You can put that on your laptop case. You can do it at all sorts of stuff. And again, just go to tpublic.com and look for conservatees, conservatees. You got a kid going to school in the fall? My kid is not a snowflake. My kid is not a snowflake right there. You ever see that bumper sticker on Priuses or VW Vanagons? It says war is not the answer. General Mattis would say otherwise, and that's why I created this. Sometimes war is the answer. Sometimes evil needs its ass kicked. Get that on a T-shirt. Give it to somebody who's a military member. Proud climate change denier. That's there. And this is why we pulled out of Paris. I mean, the Paris Climate Accord. I think there was a movie called Pulled Out of Paris, wasn't there? Had Paris and Hilton involved in it? Oh, this is good. Veganism is an eating disorder. Veganism is an eating disorder. My son is doing veganism as a dare for a month, and it's awful. I hate it. Veganism is about eating, less about eating, more about what you can eat than can. Deadheads who are conservatives, make America grateful again. There it is, right there. Okay, yes. And, of course, I've got your safe space right here. I've got your safe space right here. 50 designs, these are just a fraction of them. And again, the website to go to is tpublic.com/conservatees. What do you think about those graphics, ladies and gentlemen? tpublic.com. Look for conservatees. Oh, somebody just pinged me. Pinged me, pinged me, pinged me. All right. I'm trying to think about if I have anything else I need to talk about today. Oh, sexist air conditioning. Sexist air conditioning. Do you work in an office where you know, they keep it at 68 degrees? God, I would love to do that in my home, by the way. I would love to do that in my home. It's too damned expensive, so I keep it. My wife, if it's below 76, I get reamed when she gets home because the electric bills are terrible. They are absolutely terrible right now. But did you realize that if you work in a building, there were rules established in the 1960s by OSHA, 55 guidelines that are keeping it artificially cold in your building? 68 to 76 degrees. There is a woman who is a, a man. You never know these days. It's calling out sexist air conditioning standards. Dr. Carl Krasnicki. Yeah, nailed it. Krasnicki. There you go. Okay. Says that women suffer from the sexist law. Men love air conditioning, but women often shiver. The model was based in the 1960s when most of the workers were middle-aged men in stuffy business suits. Seen Mad Men? You seen Mad? You know what I'm talking? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, this Australian commentator says there's a patriarchy against women. It's just too cold for women. I see some of that in the wintertime. I see some of that in the office. You got women with space heaters. Bring a space heater. Your men and women are going to be different, dudes. They're going to be different. That's just the way it is. You know? And what would you rather do? You want to keep it hot for the guys sweating through the clothes or cool for the women? You throw on a, you know, maybe a sweatshirt. I don't know. Everybody's offended about something. Everybody's mad about something. I don't know what it is. But I think, you know what, guys, I think that's going to do it for us today. I think it's going to do it for us today. This is my first time on this podcast, this Facebook page, which is, and if you've been contributing for a while, I realize I'm an interloper. I've been invited to be on this Deplorables Radio. I'd love to see it grow, and I would love to do this every night for you. I call it our fireside chat, where we get together and we talk about the day's events, and you write and you comment, and let's make it grow. If you get a chance to share it on social media, Dennis and see Lee and Candy and you other guys who were there. Will you do me a favor and share it on social media? Because I'm going to be back tomorrow. And I'm going to be back on Thursday and on Friday. And if you like what we're doing here, what I'm doing, then I would love to keep doing it for you. Because it's a gift. It's a blessing to be here. I'm going to post the MP3 from this podcast on iTunes. Look for Rob Carson's show. It'll be on iHeartRadio. It will be on TuneIn and SoundCloud and Audioboom and YouTube. Best place probably to get it free is iTunes. Just download. Look for podcasts, Rob Carson Show. In the meantime, check out my Facebook page. It is Rob Carson Show. The Twitter feed is at Rob Carson. And the, hold on. The politically, what did I do with my fantastic graphic here? Hold on. My fantastic graphic. You want to order all the politically incorrect stuff? TeePublic.com. Look for conservatives. If you're going to go to family reunion, you're going to be able to wear something like veganism is eating disorder for your nephew who's back from college, who's a total hippie. Order T-shirts, hoodies, tanks, little onesies for your baby, mugs, stickers. TeePublic.com, conservatives. All right. In the meantime, God bless you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Dennis, thank you for having me on this great, great Facebook page. We will see you again tomorrow night, same place, at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. See you then.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.